This is a production of Netcast Studio, online media for today's society. The new media broadcasting network dedicated to providing you content as it relates to your life. Whether it's technology, sports, educational, cultural, hobbies, or history, Netcast Studio has it all at netcaststudio.com.
Tech of Sports, Episode 80, Nisha Sangavi of University Girls Apparel. Tonight on the Tech of Sports, Nisha Sangavi. Netcast Studio produces great content you can listen to anytime and online. Go over to netcaststudio.com and you can check it all out. The Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. And the Tech of Sports is also a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. We record every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And then the next day, the show is available for stream, download, embed. And you can listen to it at netcaststudio.com. Welcome everyone tonight to episode 80 of the Tech of Sports. And this is a show. It took a few weeks to put it together just because we both have busy schedules. And it's just great to have a business owner on and somebody in the apparel world and with a great company and a great idea. And she's got a nice little niche, and it's Nisha Sangavi, owner of University Girls Apparel. And basically, Nisha is a West Virginia Mountaineer, a graduate. And she went on to design school in New York City, and she worked for Puma in Germany. So she's got a really varied resume and amount of experience. And she started University Girls Apparel for women of all ages. And she's really targeting sports fans and alumni of major universities age 25 and up with a wide variety of clothing articles and different pieces of clothing. She appears to be adding new schools and new articles of clothing to it at all times, but we'll hear from what Nisha has to say and more from her. Nisha, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Great. Well, it's not that exciting, but it's good to, you're talking to me. You're not talking to President Obama or anything, but just good to have you on. And I deal with a lot of apparel companies, national sports technology writer, and I get samples and I write review pieces and I see new products all the time. So just kind of talk about, you know, you have the experience, you have the background, you have the schooling. Just kind of talk about your, the inspiration for, University Girls, and then the chance you took in entering what's, you know, already a crowded apparel industry. Just kind of discuss that.
Sure. Well, I went to school at WVU between 2004 and 2008. So if anybody is familiar with West Virginia, we had some really great sports years back then. Our football team had made it to the Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, and then our basketball teams went to Final Four one year and the Elite Eight. So I got really spoiled being a cheerleader for the team those 4 years. I got to travel all around the country, and it was a great experience. And my family is a born and bred West Virginia diehard fans. And in school, I just struggled to find women's apparel for WVU that was cute, flattering for a women's body, and maybe a little bit sexy, fashion forward. And I just looked at every store, and I just really couldn't find anything that fit my style. And I just started to make my own tank tops and t-shirts while I was in college. And I would wear them after the football games, whenever we would travel. And people would just ask me all the time where I got the shirt from. And, you know, of course, I said, no, where I made it. So it put a little idea in my head that maybe other women also have a hard time finding fashionable collegiate clothing to support their favorite teams. But my education actually is in finance and economics. So when I graduated from WVU, I thought I was going to go on to become a hedge fund manager or take over Wall Street, something like that. I was really interested in finance. And I started working in Pittsburgh in a banking job, but I just felt like it wasn't really what I thought it was going to be. And in the first year that I worked in banking, that job just kind of wore me down, and I felt like I aged 15 years and 10 months. So I kind of came to this realization that I want to do something else. And I always knew I wanted to be a business owner. I just never knew what that business would be. And I kind of came back to my clothing line idea, and I decided to quit my job and try to pursue this dream full time. So I quit my job in finance in Pittsburgh, and I enrolled in Parsons, which is a design school in New York City, which is one of the top design schools in the world. So then from there, I went to New York. And if anybody's familiar with the collegiate apparel industry, or just the collegiate industry in general, everything is officially licensed. So you have to apply for the licenses directly to the universities, and then they will approve or disapprove you based on a marketing, distribution, and sales plan. And so my first school that I applied for was my alma mater, West Virginia, and I was very lucky to be approved for that license. That was kind of the first big challenge that I had, was making sure I could even get licensed. So I was approved for West Virginia's license. And after that, for about 3.5 years, looking for a manufacturer that would produce my own designs. And so 3.5 years after I graduated, my first line launched. And that year I launched for 2 universities. So I'm from West Virginia. So I launched with West Virginia University and Marshall University, which is our other state school. And it was a big success. My first line that I came out with actually was really a junior line. I thought, you know, I should go for some cute, sexy, form-fitting top. But then I soon quickly realized that a lot of women couldn't fit in my clothing because it was just too slim cut. So in my second year, I decided to totally change my business model and make it more of a Missy and plus size brand. And Missy just means that it's fitted for the average size woman. And after I changed my size chart, everything has completely changed for my business. In my second year, I went from 2 to 5 schools. In my third year, I went from 5 to 12. And this year, I'll be launching my 4th collection. And this year, I have 20 universities, including some of the most highly coveted licensing agreements like University of Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, Tennessee.
And my alma mater, Iowa State. So
yes, exactly.
I saw that. If you go on to fanatics.com, they have tons of Iowa State stuff, but a lot of sites you go on, it'll list, you know, the 10 major universities in Iowa State, and some of the other schools in the Midwest are always left out in the cold. So good to see that. But just kind of talk about, did you have, always have that entrepreneurial spirit kind of when you were younger? Were you the kid that set up the lemonade stand, or did you have a paper route and were always trying to make a buck? Was that you, or were you hanging out at the mall?
It absolutely was to a T, me. And I didn't realize that until I was an adult, you know, looking back at my childhood, that I did all these entrepreneurial things. Like my most distinct memory was, I think I was maybe 9 or 10 years old, I think 4th grade. Back then, we used to wear these little hairbands, not a hairband, it's like a metal clip. And they typically only came in silver, black, and gold. But I was, you know, such a fashionista back then too. And I would try to match these clips to my outfits by painting them with nail polish, because you just couldn't find ones with color so readily available in the store. So I would paint, you know, one with green and like green with red polka dots, you know, something, whatever. And I would wear them, you know, to school. And I had so many young little girls on the playground ask me, oh my gosh, I've been looking for one in that color combination. And I would go home and pull out every single clip that I had, and I would paint them in just a variety of colors. I would stuff them into my pockets, and then I would try to sell them on the playground the next day for like a quarter, 75 cents, whatever I could get for it. And it wasn't even about the money. It was just doing something, you know, coming up, finding out that there was something needed in the playground market and trying to fulfill that need.
Everything always starts on the playground, Nisha.
That could be true.
did your parents recognize that, or were you just kind of doing that on your own and it just kind of blossomed out of that?
I kind of come from a long line of business owners and entrepreneurs. My dad is also a business owner, and he's quite entrepreneurial. He owns an engineering consulting firm. Mm-hmm. And I also have several cousins and uncles that are big in manufacturing in India. That's where my family comes from, is in India. So I never realized when I was younger, I knew that I was surrounded by so many business owners, but I never realized really, when you're so young, you don't know what your uncle really does. But I feel like that really molded me, because growing up, I saw, you know, how hardworking my family was in their own businesses and the sacrifices that they made, but also the flexibility that they had. They were really in control of providing for themselves and for their family. And I think that just stuck with me throughout my childhood and into my adulthood that, you know, when things just weren't really going as I planned in my job in finance, I just decided to take everything into my own hands. And I felt I should be in control of my own success.
And now you're working harder than you ever did, but it's a lot more rewarding.
Exactly. It's not a 9-to-5 job. It's a 24/7 job, but it's fun.
I have a finance and accounting background as well, and I'm a sports and technology and travel writer. So you never know where things are going to go.
Exactly. You never know where life can lead you.
But I guess the next thing I want to ask is I'm sure these are your designs and you're also a business owner, so you have to control that. But a lot of people, those are using two different sides of your brain. A lot of people can be a designer, but they don't know how to run a business. And then some people know how to run a business and they can't, you know, draw stick figures. So how do you combine both of those up? Or are you just one of those extremely gifted people that can do that easily?
I wouldn't say that I'm one of those extremely gifted people. I think I've been really interested in fashion my whole life. So I like to look at myself more as a merchandiser, mm-hmm. in that forecast trends, or really see what is hitting in the market, what's working and what's not working. And so I feel like I've been able to really identify styles and trends that women are wearing in their everyday lives, but bring that over to the collegiate market, you know, styles that just really weren't available before. The collegiate market, to me, is flooded with a lot of regular graphic tees, you know, short sleeve tees that have like a huge graphic print that says, you know, Auburn Tigers. And so there, I just found that there wasn't really anything that hit what's really going on in the fashionable apparel market. There's just really nothing that hit that to a T. And it really worked out for me. But I have to say that my business degree is what's, I think, been carrying me the most. Just running the business and making sure that I'm making money and that I'm surviving every day. That's really what I think carried me along the way. So I feel like it's good to be not an expert, you know, on one thing, but to be good at a lot of things.
Sure. And you got to know how to delegate. You kind of have to know how to surround yourself with the right people, and you kind of just have to know what your limitations are. And maybe if you have a question about something, you have to, you know, lean on the right people when it comes to that. You were with Puma for a little bit. In your bio, it says, and I'm pretty familiar with Puma in the golf industry and mm-hmm. the clothing. Now they're with Cobra.
Exactly.
They're, you know, known for, I mean, well, Ricky Fowler's their big golfer who promotes them, but they're known for bold colors and some bold designs and, you know, kind of stepping out of the box a little bit. Are you kind of a little influence in some of your designs?
Not so much. When I worked at Puma merchandising department, so I mm-hmm. worked directly with the head of footwear, the head of apparel, and the head of accessories. So I wasn't so involved in the design process, but I was a lot more involved in their overall business process and how they were managing their business in individual countries. But of course, I got to shop all their sample sales. So I definitely got a lot of inspirations from them, because they do a lot of things really well. They are great in the track suits, track jackets. Their fleeces are always really innovative. So it was inspiring to be around designers that were just coming up with crazy cool ideas every day.
And you blew your whole paycheck at those sample sales. So
I did.
They had the money going out, but they had it coming right back in too. So.
Exactly.
When we're with Nisha Sangavi here of University Girls Apparel. And just Nisha, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to do an Amazon.com read, and we'll be back in a second. Just want to let all the listeners know, if they're doing any shopping here on Amazon this summer and into the fall, big wedding season, Father's Day coming up, a lot of birthdays in the summer, they can help support what we do at Netcast Studio and use the affiliate link. It's netcaststudio.com/Amazon. There's no extra cost to you. And like I said, it does help support Netcast Studio and the number of shows that it brings you each week. We appreciate all the loyal listeners. So they do it frequently and from time to time, and we appreciate it. Just go to netcaststudio.com/Amazon and then do all your shopping, and it helps us out here at the studio. So thanks for sitting through that, Nisha. And I just have to commend you that your website is so well done, and everything's really one touch away from seeing bigger pictures and seeing information. And in some websites, things are laid out in weird columns and you got to dig deep to find what you're looking for. But you really have everything pretty much within one or two clicks from making an order.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I like simplistic designs, and I feel like that resonates the best with customers. You just want to see everything clear and simple, and that's what hopefully leads to some purchases.
Oh, absolutely. And the variety you offer, you're not a huge company. You're not a Puma. You're not a Russell Athletic. But the variety that you have and that you offer is just amazing. I you click on the different universities and there's, you know, a couple dozen different outfits or different pieces that are offered. I think that that's great. And how do you determine how many, I don't know, you add things in probably each year with different lines, but then do you take things out as well?
I do. Basically what I do is I create a big, like 20 piece collection. And then, my sales reps go to each territory, to each school, and they sell the line to local retailers, that sell, you know, Auburn or Alabama, the local retailers in those areas. And they kind of dictate what gets made for each school. And I think that's really beneficial because, you know, there are some items that just might not work in the Midwest as best as they would work in the Southeast. So I create a collection that I wear, and then I let each individual, geographic location kind of dictate what will go into the collection and what won't. And yeah, that's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I was going to ask, regardless of geographical regions, are there certain things just from university to university that work? I mean, maybe something at Alabama works, but even though the University of Georgia is just a couple hours away, it doesn't work there. Do you ever find that out?
Absolutely. I mean, there are some schools that have kind of ride or die fans, you know, and they have fans that are of all ages, shapes, and sizes. But then there are some schools that are predominantly being driven by on-campus, you know, students. Mm-hmm. And so when it's more of a student population, we tend to gear towards slimmer, more slim-fitting styles, more tank top styles. But when it's the other way, when we are really hitting our core customer, which is an alumni woman, you know, over the age of 25, that's really where you see the uniqueness of our brand. And that's where our collection will get bigger, is in those schools. Schools like Nebraska, Alabama, West Virginia, I mean, mostly all the schools that I do have great fan bases. And so I've been pretty lucky to be able to design a complete collection that I think really serves those fans.
And you can't really talk about apparel and clothing now without talking about the fabrics that they're made from. And I know as a golfer and a tennis player, the shirts that we wear now are not that cotton, heavy cotton shirt that we wore even, you know, a decade ago. Now we have the antimicrobial and the quick dry and the moisture wicking. How do you go about researching different fabrics, and has that even changed over the few years you've been in business?
Well, I do have to say there are some amazing things going on more in the casual sportswear industry. So I do still use a lot of cotton, mm-hmm. and I do a lot of cotton polyester blends. I use viscose a lot, which is a very soft and drapey fabric. So my goal is to find fabrics that I think women could wear casually, but also dressed up. A lot of our styles can go from work to play. There's something that women can wear on a casual Friday to work, and then also to the game and also to the tailgate. So when I go to visit my factories, they take me everywhere and they show me all different types of fabrics, what's new in the industry, you know, what kind of feedback they're getting from their other customers. And then I do a lot of trend forecasting. I go around to a lot of the big brands in the US and try to see what are they using? Is there something out there that I haven't been made aware of? So that's also a big, pretty big undertaking.
What about spending time right on the campuses of those universities? Do you go to a football game or a basketball game just kind of to get a feel for, you know, maybe what trends are there, or are there certain universities that kind of set the trends and the others follow? Do you have to do that kind of research?
I love to go on campus and be at the football games. That's the most fun, is, you know, when you see people wearing, of course, your brand. That's always like the most rewarding feeling. But the culture is so different at each school. In the South, you get a lot of women that are very sophisticated and dressed up. You know,
yeah, they dress women, up.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I was there in my t-shirt and sneakers, and they're in 4-inch heels and a tight dress. And I just thought, how can they drink beer if they're going to be in a dress and
heels?
It's not
Morgantown. It's not Morgantown down here. There's no cannons blasting off.
Absolutely. And so it's really interesting to see. I mean, in the Southeast, they have a lot more months, a lot more days where they get warmer weather. And I think more in the Midwest and up North, we dress more functionally. We dress for the weather. So it's really interesting to see how people are in each, you know, at each campus.
We're a little over the midway point here of the show. Give your contact information, your website, how they can follow you on social media here. Take 30 seconds and just give all your information and all your plugs, and we'll do this again at the end. So okay. Let the listeners know how they can find you guys.
Absolutely. So my line is available online on our website at ugapparel.com. That's short for University Girls Apparel. And we are on all social media, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram with the handle UG Apparel. And then we're also on Facebook with University Girls Apparel.
You're all over the place. How about the Pinterest? Does the Pinterest page get a lot of hits? Because that's really nicely laid out for you too.
I kind of lost you for a second. Which page?
The Pinterest.
Yes. Pinterest has been amazing for us. Sure. It's so visual. And that's really where women are really expressing themselves on Pinterest. You can learn a lot about people from their Pinterest boards. And so it's really cool to get an inside look at what different styles women like. So Pinterest has been great, and I've seen a lot of our styles being pinned every which way. So it's really cool to see our things get repinned and repinned. It makes me feel good and makes me feel like women are really responding to the styles that we're making, and they're realizing that they are unique for the market.
Sure. They definitely are. We can talk to you for 5 seconds and realize you're a really intelligent and with it person. But when you were first starting out, you know, you were a former cheerleader. Do people kind of take you seriously? You know, here's another person with a clothing design idea. How did you break through kind of that stereotype and that barrier?
Well, you know, this is also a radio show, so you can't see me in person, but I'm of short stature, and I also look very young. So when I first
you're about 5 foot nothing, about 95 pounds, probably.
Exactly. And my whole life I've been ID'd, and I think this will be an ongoing struggle for me. Anywhere I go, I'll always ask for my ID. So in the beginning, even still now, people ask me, they think that I must be still in college, or I'm, you know, very young, and I am young.
Are you the daughter of the owner? You're probably asking.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. My mom, she helps me out a lot, but I've kind of asked her to step back a little bit because they usually tend to think that my mom is the owner of the business and I'm helping her out. It's been kind of a struggle, and especially cheerleaders sometimes get that bad rap for being, you know, maybe bimbos, but all the cheerleaders that I've ever, you know, been on a team with have been very intelligent women that have gone on to be doctors. So it's definitely been a struggle, but I think the thing that benefited me the most is knowing my stuff. As soon as I can, you know, open my mouth a little bit and, you know, show the buyers or the consumers that I am knowledgeable about the product, I've done a ton of research, and I know my customers so well. And I know what this industry is capable of doing and what my line is capable of doing. People kind of, I think, step back and say, okay, she might be short, but she knows what she's talking about.
I mean, just, I'm sure, like you said, as soon as you open your mouth, you know what you're talking about. When you look at your website and you see, you know, the different schools, people are always concerned about prices in this day and age. And just going through and looking at your price points, you know, they really appear to be in line with the quality of clothing you're offering. I didn't see anything that really stood out to me and shocked me by the price. There was no sticker shock. Everything appeared to be, you know, affordable or right in line with what they should be. And was it kind of trial and error setting the price point? And how did you get to where you could produce enough or sell enough to get to a certain price point that would work?
Pricing has been very important to me. I have wanted my line to be as competitive price-wise as possible. I've seen a lot of garments in the collegiate industry be quite premium priced because it's officially licensed and you have to pay the royalties and all that. But for me, it's been the most important to be able to offer a product that people feel comfortable purchasing. I think the worst feeling in the world is when you go in a store and you see something you really like and then you get that sticker shock, you know, like you said, and you're like, oh my gosh, and you immediately put it back and you say, you know, maybe for Christmas or maybe one day I'll come back for it. Most of the time you don't. It was really important for me to have the customer be in the store, love the style, love the price, and, you know, make the purchase. And so it's, you know, I might not always be making maybe the highest margin that I could be making per garment, but it's been more important for me to make the customer feel comfortable with their purchase.
And how do you go about deciding on maybe a new piece you're going to offer? Do you have a brainstorming session with people, or do ideas come to you throughout the year and do you kind of sketch them down or make notes and then take them to a person that, you know, creates a sample of it? Take me through that process.
So I've kind of become a little bit of a stalker since I started this business because I've become so aware of my surroundings. So I'm looking all year long for inspirations and styles that I think could work in the collegiate market. And so, you know, I'm looking at women all the time, you know, when I'm traveling in the airport or when I'm shopping in the mall, when I go to any sports game, I'm always kind of taking mental notes and mental pictures of everything that I see. And then I come home and kind of write all my ideas down. And then when it comes time to design the collection, I've got a plethora of ideas to choose from. I do a lot of window shopping, a lot of online shopping. I just like to see what's really going on in the market. Are there any trends that people are doing? So once I've gathered all my ideas, I do design every piece in the collection. And I try to take little details that I think will make a simple t-shirt look chic and fashionable. So I sketch everything out and then I send what's called a tech pack to my manufacturer. And the tech pack, you know, shows what the design looks like. I give them my measurements. I've custom made all of my measurement charts. I haven't followed what the U.S. industry standard is because that tends to be a little bit too small. So I custom made all of my size charts by bringing women over to my office and fitting them, like average size women. I fit all my garments on average size women and custom made our size chart. So I send everything out to the manufacturer and then they come back to me with a sample and we will custom dye every color for each university to their specific colors. So it's a lengthy process. Right now it takes me about almost a year to design the collection and then get it to the stores.
What about, I think one of the fastest growing segments of women's clothing right now is workout wear. I mean, wherever you go, the women, it must be just because it's comfortable. They're wearing workout wear to school and to the coffee shop and to the mall. Have you kind of slanted your design a little bit? Something they would wear not only to a football game, but maybe something they would wear, you know, taking walks outside or wear to the gym. Have you, has that been a conscious decision maybe you've looked at?
I've definitely seen that as a trend, but I think that there are already a couple of brands in the market that are executing it really well. And so with licensing, there are so many women's apparel brands in collegiate licensing right now. So you really have to differentiate yourself and into a specific niche to even get approved for the licenses. Mm-hmm. And so what I've done is really play off of being a Missy and plus size brand and offering fashionable styles that women can wear in their everyday lives and then also to work a lot of our styles are dressed up enough that it could be worn to work on a casual Friday. So that's kind of where I've been trying to make my name in the market, is fashionable clothing for average sized women.
And that, and you said that was tough for you at first because you're not really an average sized woman. So were you kind of jaded a little bit and you thought everyone would be able to fit into things you fit in, and you learned quickly that that maybe you were going to have to make some changes?
For sure. I mean, I think a lot of some apparel businesses make the mistake of designing only for themselves. And I'm lucky that I learned from that mistake in my first year. I realized I am my own brand's customer. You know, I would wear everything that I put out, but I'm not my core customer. Well, I guess I am now because I'm an older adult now than I was, you know, when I first started.
You're
the
not
brand.
That old.
Not that old, but you know, I'm a woman, you know, I'm not just in college anymore, and I like to dress age appropriate and not be a hoochie mama anymore, like I like to say.
The first time the term hoochie mama has ever been said on this program.
But I mean, it was definitely difficult for me in the beginning because I was a cheerleader in college, so I was petite. But what happened, which is looking back a blessing, I used to work for Puma in Germany. And when I was in Germany, I think I loaded up on too much beer, cheese, bread, everything that,
sausage.
You know, sausage, everything that I put on weight. And I became, you know, kind of for the first time in my life, a little bit more conscious about how garments fit on my body. And then I realized that that's how majority of women are. You know, a lot of women might not be what their attainable goal weight would be, you know? So I was able to kind of take myself out of where I was before and realize that this is the average American customer, and they want to feel comfortable in what they're wearing. They don't want to feel like, oh, this shirt is too tight on my stomach or it's too tight on my hips. You know, it needs to be fitted for what the average customer's body is. And as soon as I got over that and realized, you know, I might not always be designing for myself, I mean, just my mind opened up completely. And it's been a little bit difficult because when I hire designers to work for me, they might not understand that customer right away and realize, you know, this customer is the average American customer. You know, it's not always the most super high fashion, avant-garde, hot couture customer. It's, you know, it's your everyday person that's shopping at the mall, and that's really who I am.
There are a lot of average Americans, and it's also good to know, Nisha, you had, even after 4 years in Morgantown, you had to go to Germany to discover beer. So, I mean, that that may be the surprise of the show here so far. So we're wrapping up here with Nisha Sangavi of University Girls. And Nisha, I guess the last thing I want to ask, who are your kind of inspirations when you're looking at designers, or who do you like to look at? And then your opinion on somebody like Serena Williams, who gets on the shopping channels and sells, you know, $1 million worth of clothing. And actually, you know, you can say what you want about Serena. The thing she offers on there, actually, and I watch it because I cover tennis and golf, they look pretty good. I mean, I don't know if Serena's sitting down herself and designing these things, but kind of your inspiration and then your opinion on, like, Serena.
My inspirations have really been a lot of the more casual everyday brands. I love Nike, Adidas, and Puma because I'm kind of been a tomboy my whole life. So I love that idea of mixing athletic looks with everyday streetwear looks, or, you know, athletic looks being a little bit more formal also. So growing up, I always loved the different track jackets that Adidas and Nike and Puma would put out. I always felt they were so innovative. But I'm really an everyday customer. You know, I shop at all the stores that are readily available through, you know, anywhere in America. And I've really taken inspiration, I think, from the brands that are available everywhere, like Gap. I love what Gap does because, you know, for so many years they kind of slumped away, but recently they've really understood their customer really well and have been executing styles that fit them perfectly. And that just, it really inspires me and motivates me to see big companies really listening to their customers. But Serena Williams, sometimes, you know, those things make me I wish I had some of the resources that some of these right. bigger celebrities have behind them. But I do feel that, somebody particularly like Serena Williams, she really knows her stuff. I mean, when it comes to performance and athletic wear, you know, she's the best judge of character for what she needs when she's working out or when she's in a match and what works and what doesn't work. So I just wish that I could have a team of designers that would just listen to me and then do the work for me. Yeah. That would be awesome. But I'm not mad at her.
No, I mean, I applaud her for doing something out of, out of the sport of tennis. I think that's for sure. Forward looking for her and, you know, more power to her. She's, absolutely. She's not the typical body either. So right. she's designing things that fit, all sorts of different size people as well. So I think absolutely. she's doing something that's worthwhile. And like I said, some of her designs surprised me when I watched that. And she's actually pretty good, doing the shopping channel thing, talking to the customers and stuff. It's kind of fun to watch because I've interviewed Serena numerous times in a tennis setting. So that's why it's kind of different for me. So, great insight there, Nisha. And just once again, go over, your website and how people can follow you and then anything you want to promote that's coming up, where you're going to be or any specials you got.
We're getting ready to launch our brand new 2014 collection in the next month. Sometime between July and early August, we'll be launching our new line, which also has all kinds of new schools that we're debuting and new styles. So I'm really excited about that. So I'd love for everybody to come check it out. All the styles will be available on our website, which is ugapparel.com. You can also just Google UG Apparel and we'll come up. And on all social media, you can also find us at UG Apparel or University Girls Apparel on Facebook.
And just a question on the side, Nisha, when you said you were kind of into fashion and you like wearing functional things, you weren't one of those girls going to class at West Virginia, like at that 8 o'clock class that still had the pajama pants on and the Uggs, were you?
I never did the Uggs, but... I did put on Uggs one time and they were the most comfortable shoes I've ever had on, but I didn't do it. I couldn't do the sweatpants and Uggs look, but I definitely rocked sweatpants the majority of my college time.
Yeah. And now what's really big are they're kind of like that half spandex type. I don't even know what they're called.
Yoga pants?
Well, they're yoga pants, but they're kind of like to the knee or something. They're like the workout spandex type.
Yeah.
Pants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you could get that in my wife wears those and I see people wearing them all the time with the college logo on them. That would be, and it's probably not in your business plan type thing, but here I am giving you fashion
advice.
You're
giving me so many ideas.
Yeah. When I shop at that French, clothing store Target. So I shouldn't be giving you any advice.
That's funny. No, those pants do really well and women do love them, but it hasn't worked out for me yet.
Well, it's something to work on. Nisha, thanks so much for coming on. Great show. And I'm looking forward to see what you have coming up next and following what you're doing. I'm impressed.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Just want to let listeners know that Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest to you, and you can go over to netcaststudio.com and check out all the shows that are available, and also the podcast internet broadcast directory set up by the people at Netcast Studio, and that's called Two Thumbs Up Media. You can go to twothumbsupmedia.com and see what other shows are available from all over the country, all over the world, and it's just really interesting. You'll discover some new shows that you never thought you'd be listening to on Two Thumbs Up Media. So just want to thank Nisha, and thanks everybody for listening. You've been listening to the Tech of Sports podcast on Netcast Studio Productions.